Members, we will call the this meeting of the Commerce Committee to order. Thank you. We're getting going a few minutes late, waiting for everyone to get here, but I think we now have a quorum. Representative O'Driscoll, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Chair, please. Thank you.
Have you, Representative O'Driscoll, have you looked at the minutes? And if so, would you please approve those for the March 2nd, last meeting of the Commerce Committee?
Mr. Chair, I move the 10th meeting, which was March 2nd, minutes for approval.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll moves the minutes from our last meeting. Are there any questions, comments, or observations about said minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes prevail. Motion prevails. The minutes are passed. Okay. Representative Beard, if we can forbear in your patience for a minute, we want to get Representative Loeffler up and out of here as quickly as I can with House File 248. Representative Loeffler, are you ready for that? If you don't mind, we will just take a moment to jump around a little bit. These should both be relatively quick bills. Representative Johnson, would you like to move Representative Loeffler's bill so it is properly before us?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move 248.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. House File 248 has been moved and is now before us. Representative Loeffler, welcome to the committee, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill represents a repeal of a current state mandate on our small businesses that don't offer group health insurance. It arose this summer when we had last year in law created a small business work group to look at the insurance affordability and access by small businesses. And this represents their first consensus recommendation. The work group included small businesses and their employees as representatives. It included insurance agents, actuaries, the health plans, the Department of Commerce, and others. And just some background, many years ago the federal tax code was modified to allow the establishment of what are known as Section 125 plans. And they allow employees to pay for their health insurance premiums with pre-tax dollars. And it's a win-win because the employer gets to avoid paying FICA, Medicare, and Social Security and unemployment on those same earnings. So it both parties benefit. And almost all employers who offer health insurance are currently offering it through Section 125 plans. But as we know, not all employers are able to offer health insurance to their employees. And the law that we're repealing was well-intentioned, but it was an attempt to say, well, if the employer doesn't offer health insurance, let's have them set up a Section 125 plan anyhow, and when their employees go out in the open market and buy an individual policy, they'll get that tax advantage. The problem with it is that it's kind of complicated to set up a Section 125 plan. There's some potential liabilities connected to administering it, making sure you're in line with the IRS. And it has the employers had the option of saying they learned about it and chose not to participate, which some of them did. And the end result is that it really hasn't worked the way one had hoped to improve access and affordability. And with that, I would appreciate taking any questions or entertain your action on the bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions? I have a couple of quick questions, which I think are easy. Were there a lot of takers for this after the bill got passed? Did a lot of businesses sign up for this?
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Commerce is here, and we, you know, there's not a lot of evidence. We did have a small grant program that allowed small businesses to apply to cover the administrative costs, and we know there were 6 applicants for that. There's 28 companies that have filed that they opted out. We quite honestly think most people never even knew about this. And while he had a conflict today, Mike Hickey from the Minnesota Independent Federation of Independent Businessmen had testified in the previous committee, and the small employers are in agreement that this just isn't working and we ought to take it off the books.
Thank you. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Loeffler, I just want to thank you for bringing this to the committee. Now, is this the same one that the governor in his budget proposal was looking at removing?
Mr. Chairman
Representative
and
Law.
Representative Davids. No, the provision that the governor has included as part of his tax recommendations is a separate provision dealing with Section 125 plans, and it's an income tax provision for a very, it's sort of like this. It was targeted to a very tiny, narrow part of the population and probably didn't work. It was for people who had not had health insurance for a year prior to being offered a Section 125 plan, and it gave them small benefit. And I think it's, once again, a good intention thing that probably benefited a handful of people.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Davids,
I would just like to thank Representative Loeffler for her work on a lot of these issues, and I think you did a great job on this one. I'm looking forward to supporting your bill.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Loeffler. I, too, would concur with what you're accomplishing through this bill, and it's an area of interest for myself, too, to try to offer some assistance and take some guidance from small businesses as they're struggling to try to afford health insurance for their employees and how we can make that easier. Now, this working group, are they continuing to meet and may come up with additional recommendations for the legislature as we look at this issue?
Mr. Chair and Representative Loon, yes, this group is going to be continued to meet through the end of the fiscal year. I think it ends July 1st, and it is hoping to get some actuarial analysis on some other options that it can consider at its work. I did have included in your packet some information about kind of trends in small business coverage, just because I thought you might find that interesting, and that is what the group is really focusing its efforts on.
Thank you. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Loeffler, I was going to support the bill, but did you say Mike Hickey is supporting you on this? That scares me.
Representative Mullery, in deference to you, he's not here to testify.
Thank God.
Members, any other questions for the bill? Seeing none, is there anybody in the audience that wants to testify for or against the bill? We're not aware of anyone. See no one coming down. Representative Johnson, if you'd like to renew your motion. That House File 248 be passed, and I'm assuming going on to the General Register. I didn't hear otherwise.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, HHS Finance. I did hear otherwise. I forgot.
Mr. Chair, I
Representative Loeffler.
Can't imagine that this was going to have any impact on the Human Services budget. It did go through the Human Services Policy Committee before it came here to Commerce, since it only deals with private sector provisions.
I don't disagree with you, but Representative Abler asked to see it. I would imagine that he heard from Mr. Hickey and Representative Mullery and just wants to take a quick look. But with that, any other questions, members? Otherwise, Representative Johnson renews his motion that House File 248 be passed and moved on to the HHS Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative
Thank you so much
Walker.
On behalf of the whole work group.
Our pleasure. Thank you for visiting. Representative Beard. Thank you for your patience. We wanted to move Representative Loeffler along. Members, this is the bill, House File 72, that we heard testimony on last week. And while all of us, and I believe all the lobbyists, got the notice for the meeting, this is the deal where we had a software glitch of some kind, and it didn't get out to the general public. I'm not aware of anybody that was inconvenienced by that, but just in case, we wanted to make sure not vote on it until today so that it was properly notified. The bill is still properly before us, and Representative Anderson moved the bill last Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was. So, Representative Anderson, if you would renew your motion that House File 72 be passed and sent to the General Register, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, I'd like to renew my motion, Mr. Chair.
And, Mr. Chair, we'd request a roll call, please.
And there will be a roll call. Representative Atkins requests a roll call. Whenever you're ready.
Hoppe.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Atkins?
No.
Anderson, Diane?
Aye.
Anderson, Sarah?
Aye.
Anzels?
Yes.
Crawford?
Aye.
Stout?
Aye.
Davids?
Aye.
Dietrich?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kiefer?
Aye.
Lilly?
No.
Loon?
Pass.
Mazerell.
Aye.
Mullery.
No.
Murdoch.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Slocum. Stensrud.
Aye.
Tilbury. Loon, what was your vote?
Aye.
Members, after checking the discrepancy here, we have motion does prevail on a vote of 15 to 6.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Representative Beard. We appreciate your patience.
You're welcome.
Representative Sanders, House File 837. Representative Sanders, if you'd like to move House File 837, so it's
thank you,
Representative Sanders. Just go ahead and move it to the General Register, and we're not going to vote on this today. We're going to lay it over, but we are going to hear testimony on it, just to let everybody know ahead of time. So, Representative Sanders, if you want to move this bill in front of us, and we'll move it to the General Register when we act on it next week, we'd appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just ask, has the Health and Human Services Committee weighed in on this? It's my understanding that there's some health-related concerns.
I have, Representative Atkins, that's a good question, and they have not, but I have not asked them, and I will.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Make a motion that House File 837 be passed and put in the General Register.
Please proceed. Identify yourself for the record and proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tim Sanders, House District 51A. today, House File 837 is a bill for me that... or I guess really what drew my attention to this bill was the fact that Minnesota needs to embrace innovation and technology more and more. The rest of the world is moving down this track. We have a product that you'll hear more about in just a few minutes that is specifically banned statutorily in the state of Minnesota. We are the only state that bans this product in the entire country. And so it was one of those things where, in efforts to keep up with innovation and technology, I strongly believe that this bill needs to pass. With me today is Peter Thrain and also Jack Bichel to help further explain the actual product and some of the background information for that. But first, Mr. Peter Thrain.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. Mr. Thrain, go ahead, identify yourself for the record, and please proceed.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Peter Thrain from Leonard Street and Dinard on behalf of IPS, which is a manufacturer of the air admittance valve, or AAV. With me today is Mr. Jack Bichel. Mr. Bichel is the president of Studer, Inc., which is a subsidiary of IPS that actually manufactures the valve. As Representative Sanders mentioned, House File 837 repeals legislation that was enacted in 2007 that prohibits the state plumbing board from considering any amendment to the plumbing code to authorize air admittance valves as an optional alternative to open stack venting. As Representative Sanders mentioned, Minnesota is the only state in the country that has enacted legislation prohibiting its code setting authority from considering amending the code to authorize this valve. An AAV is a cost-effective, environmentally friendly plumbing device authorized in 39 states, and again as an optional alternative to OpenStack plumbing venting. Millions have been installed across the United States and across the world, and to the best of our knowledge, there has been no reported adverse health effects associated with the AAV. In your file, you have a brochure with pictures that explain sort of the functioning of the device. In the interest of time, we won't go through sort of the plumbing mechanics and how this works. If there's any questions, Mr. Brochelle would be happy to answer any questions about sort of the mechanics and the operation of the device. Suffice it to say, though, that the use of an AAV can provide substantial savings in the cost of construction from open-stack venting with important economic development benefits. We're simply asking that the prohibition be repealed and that the plumbing board, the agency charged by the legislature with establishing the plumbing code, be allowed to study and consider whether to amend the code to allow this device. In fact, the plumbing board in 2008 passed a resolution asking the legislature to repeal the prohibition. A copy of that communication is in your file. Mr. Chairman and members, thank you. Mr. Bichon, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the device or the legislation.
Thank you. Members, any questions? If not, Mr. Bichon, please proceed when you're ready.
Mr. Bichon, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but our testimony is complete.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no questions, and where's our list of anybody that wants to come up and testify? I know there are some here that want to speak against the bill, and we don't have anybody on the record as any kind of an order. So if anybody that wants to come up and speak against the bill, please come on up and identify yourselves for the record and fire away. Whenever you're ready, please proceed.
Hello, my name is Gary Thaden. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Minnesota Mechanical Contractors Association. That's a construction trade association. We install plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems in everything from single-family dwellings to refineries. Plumbing contractors I represent oppose the installation of AAVs. We think that they are harmful to residents in the state of Minnesota, and we oppose this legislation. The Plumbing Code Advisory Council four times had hearings on AAV. The Department of Labor and Industry contracted with an independent engineering firm that studied the AAVs and found that they will fail. They're a mechanical device, and they will fail. And they do not last as long as the plumbing system in the homes and buildings in Minnesota. And thus, they will allow sewer gas entry into those dwellings, including gases, according to this engineering study, hepatitis A, salmonella, E. coli, polio, methane, and things like that. We think that the nomenclature of this being a new and innovative technology is a distinction without a difference. This is a device that has been around for a number of years. It has not changed. They may change some internal parts, but the basic structure is still the same. When it fails, the sewer gas will be allowed within the residence. Finally, you have to look no further than the warranty that is on the website for this device for Studer. They have a lifetime warranty, which is very impressive, but it's a limited lifetime warranty. You get the price of the product back, which is less than $20. There are no consequential damages. If this product fails and somebody gets sick, or if there's mold in the building, you're on the hook for that, not the manufacturer. And so we oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Members, any questions? Representative Davis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Thaden, for your testimony. All this bill does is says that the plumbing board can look at it. I mean, we all want safety, but shouldn't, I guess my question is, shouldn't the board decide? And then can you cite any failures that are on the record? And then I'd like a follow-up question.
Mr. Thaden.
I have not done a study on failures of these devices. What I know is that they are a mechanical device, and both the engineering firm, the administrative law judge that looked at this issue, the district court that looked at this issue, the Court of Appeals, Minnesota Court of Appeals, looked at this issue, said they are a mechanical device and they eventually will fail.
Representative Davis.
Well, thank you. I just had quadruple bypass surgery, and I guess eventually, someday, it'll fail again. That don't mean it's going to any... I mean, you just said that you can't cite any failures, and yet all these other states, it's perfectly fine. And you... I've just got some minutes here from a meeting of the plumbing board, and they're quoting Gary Thayden, and it says he feels the plumbing board should deal with plumbing issues and leave the legislature to passing laws. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I mean, I'm not a plumber. I don't think you want me in there fixing your plumbing, or I'll guarantee you it would fail. But which hat are you wearing today? I mean, I agree with your comments that the plumbing board should deal with plumbing issues, not the legislature. The legislature should stick to passing laws, albeit fewer of them. And I think that the plumbing board should be able to look at this. Why in the world would we ban something when 30-some other states have done it and some court rules said that something's mechanical? Well, yeah, it's mechanical. Are we going to ban any mechanical item from being looked at? So I guess my question is, in all that, is... where are you today? Do you still believe on your test or what you said to the plumbing board a couple of years ago, that the plumbing board should deal with these issues and the legislature stick to passing laws, or where are we today on that? And
Mr. Thayden.
As far as safety goes, I feel much more comfortable with a plumbing board being able to decide safety on mechanical issues than this place.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative, if you look at those minutes, I objected to the motion that the board made. And so it was not, this is not a change in my position. The OpenStack system is a system that works on gravity. So it works. And the AAVs are a system that has either a mechanical spring or a membrane that moves within the device, and those will eventually fail. And that's why I think an OpenStack system, which in Minnesota we increased the size of the stack because of frost in Minnesota and weather. We change it rather than the national codes. We may be the only state that bans this device, but there are a number of other states that do not allow the device by their plumbing code. And
well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Thayden, I think we should let the plumbing board figure this one out. Not the legislature.
Mr. Chair, to that point, Representative Davidson, are you going to make the motion to reconsider?
Representative Atkins, are you expecting consistency?
Evidently not. I asked Bethany to come up with the minutes for that fire sprinkler argument we had the other day. And we didn't want boards to. We were going to do it via statute. Is it different now when we're talking about these poop things?
I'm just taking after Mr. Thayden.
Representative Davids, weren't you the one on that bill that said something about consistency is the hobgoblin of a diseased mind? Or
no,
where's the
small mind. Mr. Chair, that was me.
Oh, that was Representative Atkins. Oh,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple things to follow up. First of all, the vent stacks that we have in homes certainly aren't without problems themselves. We do have ice dam problems. They get backed up. We have propensity for leaking around them. These things have issues no matter what we do. These valves that you've seen in front of you also work on gravity. But most importantly, the American Society of Sanitary Engineers, National Sanitation Foundation, they are the ones that nationally recognize performance standards for AAVs. They've determined that the product is safe. They've ensured that. Moreover, AAVs have been certified by ASSE, NSF, ITS, IAPMO, and the ICCES. Those are all listing agencies recognized by the Minnesota Plumbing Code. And if they say that this is safe, and we're not going to take their word on that, then we have thousands of potential products out there that aren't safe that we're going to have to look at. I believe that this is something the Plumbing Board should be looking at. And we'll also take the words of all these agencies that have actually studied this mechanical device and say that it is safe and is a usable product.
Are you saying that we should pass this ASAP, Representative Sanders?
I don't think we could wait another minute.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to tell you, the short time I've been involved in the legislature has been an extremely educational experience, because every day I come to committee, there's something new I get to learn about. And so in this particular topic, I'm kind of naive, and I'm hoping that I can get a little bit of a background. So with that being said, if this is a mechanical system, in my home, as I'm kind of running through, the code at that time talked about needing an air exchanger. That's clearly a mechanical system, since we tightened down the energy code. My furnace is a mechanical system. I also have an air conditioning system, which is a mechanical system. I also have a smoke detector, which is a mechanical system. I also have numerous others in the house. And so I'm just wondering, at some point in the process, wouldn't these have been maybe somewhat controversial kinds of things, that there could be failure and put before a board to kind of weigh the pluses and minuses? And then when the experts had a chance to look at it, they said yes or no. And I guess I would just look to you for some thoughts and comments on that, if I could, Mr. Testifier.
Mr. Thaden.
Mr. Chair, Representative, thank you. The Minnesota legislature banned lead in plumbing pipes, lead solder, by statute. We think this is similar to that. There are a number of mechanical devices in homes, a lot of them. The simpler the home, though, the better it's going to work, and the fewer mechanical devices you have. For example, you mentioned smoke detectors. You have to replace smoke detectors, I believe, every 5 years. You don't know whether it's worn out or not just by looking at it. The same thing is true of AABs. You don't know whether it's not working until the sewer gas comes in, which is odorless. Sometimes it has an odor. And so you don't know whether it's affecting you sometimes or not. And so we think that this is the same type of thing as lead solder. It should be banned in the state of Minnesota.
Representative O'Driscoll, then. Okay. Representative Mullery. Oh, sorry. Representative O'Driscoll, did you have a follow-up to that?
Just Chair, very quickly. I guess if we talk about smoke detectors needing to fail about every 5 years, that was something that was made as aware to consumers, was it not, that they need to have that, or in the handbook that the builder had given the homeowner? I would be more concerned about the air exchange system, that people know how that works, because there's clearly going to be a silent, if you will, gas in the house that would end up creating some problems for that individual.
Mr. Chair, Fidden. Representative, if you have a heat exchanger that does not work and you have AAVs with sewer gas coming in, it's going to be even worse. And the 5-year expiration on smoke detectors is in the manufacturer's instructions.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Yeah, then this will be my last comment, Mr. Chair. Thank you. But everything that you're bringing forward, to me, seems like we should have a panel of experts looking at this and helping us with that determination.
Mr. Thaden. Representative Mullery.
Well, Mr. Chair, I had raised my hand before Representative Atkins had made his statement about Representative David's inconsistency, but then when Representative O'Driscoll talked about amazed at how much she every day in the legislature, and then I thought he was going to get into how often Representative Danges changes his philosophy on things, but then I saw that Representative O'Driscoll changed from last week too, so.
Me too.
Thank you, Representative Mullery. Members, any other questions? Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Whoever's next that wants to come down and testify for or against the bill, we'd love to have you come down. Thank you, sir. Welcome to the committee. Whenever you're ready, please identify yourself for the record and let us have it.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Luther Westman, and I represent the State Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association and the Metro and Northern Minnesota Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. And we are, as associations, we are against this. We don't think it's a good product. I personally have seen failure with this product. I'm going to use myself as an example. 3 years ago, I was called by a retired couple that had bought a house in north of Brainerd, and they had sewer gas in their house. And they had contacted the person that installed it in that area and the builder, and everybody said, well, they can't do anything about it. I went up there, and there was no vent through the roof of the house anywhere. there was air admittance valves in the house. Two of the three that were in the house had failed in less than 2 years. And they were put in. We replaced them with vents out the roof of the house, and they haven't had a problem since. And I also have worked on a resort on Lake Mille Lacs that had air admittance valves in some modular homes that came into there, and they've had similar cases where they fail. But as a associations, we're not for them. Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll once again show my consistency, but to the witness here, don't you have more confidence in the plumbing board? All this bill says is let them decide. Don't you have more confidence in the plumbing board than in this committee?
Mr. Westman.
I guess I'm going to say yes to that.
That's probably a good answer, Representative Davids.
Mr. Chairman, then wouldn't you want the plumbing board making these decisions instead of us?
Mr. Westman.
I don't think it should. Personally, I didn't think it even should be brought to this committee, and I think it, you know, you can stop the whole thing. The plumbing advisory board that was before the plumbing board had neglected it, and other groups have, and I think it should just go away. The plumbing board has a lot of very important things that they are working on.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative
Testifier, I think this is a pretty important issue that they're fully qualified to handle.
Representative Sanders.
Just a thought.
Mr. Chair, to some of that, number one, the field tests that have been done state that basically the AAVs have been proven to be the exact equivalent of the open pipe venting. Secondly, in 2008, the plumbing board actually passed a resolution asking for this ban to be repealed. So the plumbing board does want to revisit this. There have been some changes to the device. They want to take a look at this, and this is one of the reasons why this bill is brought before us. And again, if you look at the language, all we are doing is taking the ban out of statute. We're not saying that these are tomorrow going to be legal, but what we are saying is that this should go back to the plumbing board's hands. And if they agree with all of the agencies that I listed earlier, then they can act accordingly.
Members, any other questions?
Just one, Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins.
For Representative Sanders, I hope that the early testimony was just plain wrong about the fact that if you have a problem, if it fails, that there's a limitation on whether you can, you know, let's assume this, you know, we install these in my house, 6 months later it fails. I don't know, I got to call in this nice gentleman to come fix it, and I got several hundred dollars in bills. I can get that back from the company that screwed it up, right?
Representative Sanders.
Mr. Chair, I think we have a couple representatives of some of the companies here with us today that can maybe answer that if they're available. Since I do not work for any of those companies, I cannot answer that question for you.
We have somebody. Mr. Westman, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Didn't involve enough initials, acronyms and stuff.
Please proceed. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
My name is Jack Michel. I'm president of Studer. Mm-hmm.
If you could shed some light on Representative Atkins' question, we would appreciate it.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Atkinson, is it?
Atkins.
Yes, we have a limited lifetime warranty on the product. What that means in technical and liability terms is that we replace the valve free of charge. In other words, if there is a problem with the valve, alleged problem in many cases, it's other problems that occur, a contractor will replace it with a new valve and return it to the wholesale house from whom he purchased it from. That wholesale house, on the next order, provided its return to us for checking. And in many cases, we find an alleged valve that allegedly failed really didn't fail at all. There was another problem in the plumbing system. and is next door to replace that valve free of charge. So, and this is a limited lifetime warranty is generally what applies to any product, any manufactured product. And it does not cover the changing out of the valve, the actual installation, screwing the bad one out and screwing the new one in. But that is a minimal charge.
Representative Atkins.
Does that explain?
You're on your way there. Let's assume though that the family gets sick, we got some medical bills and that kind of stuff, and we gotta obviously make the fix. This is just a Minnesota thing. I'm not trying to be fancy lawyer or anything. The point though is that if we got a couple thousand dollars in medical bills and the valve really did fail. It was just no question that the valve got messed up and it didn't work right. There's still an ability to get paid that back, right?
Yes.
Sure.
But it's hard to answer how that would be handled because we've never had a claim. We've never had, as I mentioned earlier, we've never had any report of this product creating a health problem. And this product has been sold in Europe since the early 70s. It's installed worldwide now. It's been here in the United States since 1989. And we've had not one report of a health problem associated with the product.
And that makes me, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Rochelle, that makes me feel more confident. I appreciate that. But my understanding, though, is that your answer was yes, that there would be liability for medical bills or for other things if it was demonstrated that the product had failed.
Yes.
Right?
Mr. Jean.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chairman, that's where I was going on what happens if somebody's injured and whether they're responsible for it.
Thank you. Other questions, members? If not, do we have anyone else that wants to come down and speak for or against the bill? Mr. Raines. That's right. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed whenever you'd like.
Good afternoon. Phil Raines from Associated Builders and Contractors. Thank you for taking testimony on this today. I think what you've seen here is a very rare occurrence in the industry of union, non-union, et cetera, coming up and saying, we don't want these devices. ABC is generally a very strong advocate for the free market. We like to see new, innovative products out there. But when I speak to my members that cross state lines all the time, work in other states, they've seen these devices fail in other states. They looked at it and I asked them, is it okay? Should we just do it again? I said, the plumbing boards, it was actually the advisory council before this. The advisory council has examined this issue four times, rejected it each time. There was a statutory prohibition put in. Not the way I normally like to see how legislation gets done here. I like keeping things within the boards. But, consistency is hobgoblin of little minds.
What's we keep hearing that.
In this situation, the status quo is actually what's working. We've seen this issue come up again and again and again. And I think the industry is pretty much united on this, saying, we don't want to see it come up again. It's a question asked, answered. We like the prohibition in place.
Thank you, Mr. Raines. Members, any questions? Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hey, Mr. Raines. I'm just curious. I'm trying to think through the arguments, but if we let the plumbing board decide that this would be allowed in Minnesota code, and it wouldn't mandate these in all new construction, is that correct in my understanding? It wouldn't force every builder to start doing these instead of some other accepted way of venting. Is that correct?
Mr. Raines.
That's correct. It would not require it to be put in. But the plumbing board looks at the health safety, looks at designing a proper plumbing system because it is a specialized industry that we're looking at. And they look and limit what we can actually do in the industry because this is a health safety issue that's hidden behind the walls, basically. I don't know. I work for ABC, but I'm not a plumber myself. I wouldn't have a clue if my plumbing system was going bad unless there's water flowing somewhere. With the AAV device, you don't know if it's not working until you've got a problem. basically. Once you have sewer gas in, that's the pretty much your first sign that you're going to know it's not working. The plumbing board takes its health safety responsibility seriously. And like I said, they've addressed it four times. They've said they don't want it in the system. We think the statutory ban is a good thing to keep in place here.
Thank you, Mr. Raines. Other questions, members? Seeing none. Nope. Representative Dowd.
I don't know who this question would be for. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned, Mr. Raines, that the plumbing board has dealt with this four times, but we heard another time, and maybe it was you, Representative Sanders, that said they actually asked to hear this again.
Representative Sanders.
Yes, Mr. Chair. In 2008, the plumbing board passed a resolution asking that the ban be repealed. And so what we are doing is trying to follow through on that and kick it back into their court and ask them to look at the health, safety, and responsibility of the issue, like Mr. Raines said, in which they take it so seriously. Let's put it back in their hands.
Thank you, members. Any other questions? Is there anyone? Thank you, Mr. Raines. Is there anyone else in the audience for or against that wants to speak to this bill? If not, members, as I said earlier, we are not going to vote on this today. We're going to lay this bill over. And with that, seeing nothing else before us, we are adjourned for the day.